Right, so today's episode is going to have my good friend Milos Krasinski, who was based in London for 12 years. I got to know him through meeting him at different events such as Brighton SEO and everything else. But in the last year, Milos has went back home to Poland and is now spending time going across Europe, Germany, Prague and everything else, and is now working on his own and doing relatively well. So Milos, thank you for coming on to the podcast today.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you for having me. It's a definitely a pleasure to be with you and, you know, run this podcast with you. It's a definitely opportunity, right?
Everything's an opportunity. So for anyone who doesn't know who you are, I'm sure they've seen you kicking about, especially the guys from the UK will for sure have seen you kicking about. But let's give the people listening a bit of a background on what you're currently doing. So obviously I got to know you when you were in the UK working for various different people, and you're now fully on your own now, and you have relocated back to Poland. And so just give the audience a bit of a background of what you're currently able to offer in terms of SEO, you know, link building. Well, I'll give the audience a bit of a background. Milos, for me, I see him as a link builder. Obviously, he does have a broad knowledge, but let's talk about what you're able to offer these days, Milos. Is it just link building, or are you doing other stuff?
Well, it's definitely link building at the end of the day, right? This is what the client wants. You know, they just want a build. They just want a link, and they just want ranking. So, yeah, that's what I do. It's more likely I do personalized campaigns. So it's just I find out that clients, you know, if you take one good client for, let's say, long term, 12 months, you have to build relationship with, you know, with other guys in that space, rather than just, you know, building a links, right? Because in the long term, you might find out yourself that you're just building the links, but they might be devaluating and so on, right? It's very difficult to get, you know, to be on those publications, like real specific publications. Let's say if you're on healthcare, right? And if you don't, let's say, you know, some people, they don't like just to get they don't like this approach where, you know, you're approaching bloggers, you know, it's easy to get a link from bloggers, but if you really want to get nice links from publications, like really good publications, I'm not talking about news, but from influencers within given space, you have to build relationships with them. So that's what we kind of do at the moment. It's where we find out it's very beneficial. So we call them personalized link building campaigns, right? Because you have to kind of speak with the influencers, right? That way. So yeah. Does this make sense? You know, it's a kind of different than just building links, right?
Yeah, I mean, as I said to you recently, I think what you're doing is a really good job.
Thank you.
You know, I've told you, like, if I want a cheap link, I can go to people per hour and I can get on, you know, the standard websites that everyone's selling, and I can do that personally myself, and it doesn't take a lot of time, effort, skill or anything else. I can get a link for $50 or, you know, whatever the going price is. You know, so I wouldn't personally use a link builder for that, because, you know, that's garbage. You know, everyone's getting those links, and why the hell would I pay your fee for a link when I can get it myself for half the price? So, you know, that's the case for 90% of link builders. Where I think you're doing really well is you are bringing unique websites that are not spammed to death. and as you say, that comes under the, you know, call it whatever you like, influencer. You're contacting people, and you know, you've said that you're using your contacts that you're building up. I think what you do very well is you talk to people when you're at different events, you know, you're chatting to everyone and making relationships with people, and you're now making that work in a monetary sense. you know, I think that's a smart move. It's what I do. People often say to me, Craig, you go to all these events and you're chatting shit to everyone, and it's work, and you know, you get to know these contacts, and obviously I can now see that you're making those contacts work for you in a professional sense. You know, that's my personal opinion of you. As I say, we've had conversations, and I've said to you, you know, don't do the people per hour thing. Don't sell the same garbage that everyone else is selling. You've got to make yourself unique, you know, because why would someone use you and not, you know, everyone else that's selling from people per hour? So I think you're doing that well, and it seems to, you know, you seem to have, you know, grown arms and legs since you know, you came over to Scotland. I can't remember exactly when it was. It must have been about a year ago.
Well, no, it was more than that. And I think it was 3 years ago now. I think it's been 2 years ago. Oh, you're talking about the last meeting. Yeah.
Okay. The last time when we came and we took you shopping to buy better stuff like that. when that was, I think you had already went on your own and you came to Scotland, and yes, we were in the office, Gary Wilson, and we were talking about lists and all of that stuff, and I think that was only about a year ago, though. I don't think that was any longer than that.
It was a year ago. Yeah, I remember. You know, Gary's a great guy, so he really helped me, you know, like in terms of like how should I think about link building. And you've mentioned about the people per hour. You have to avoid the typical lists. You know, people will give you the lists, people will give you the links. So, you know, it's great to have those. It's great to have them because you can compare what other people already have. So you can see the price, or you can see that, okay, these are the websites that are allowing links. It's very easy, let's say, to get there. But that will give you, you can build up your list, which is what we do. We have our master list, you know. Okay, so we know that these are the websites that it's very easy to get a link. You can buy or you can pay, right? So it's a monetary, it's just the transactional ones. But there are websites where you can't just get a link, you can't buy a sponsored post. And this is why you have to build your, you know, your assets to the client that way. So I think, you know, that conversation that we have in Glasgow a year ago, it really helped me to differentiate, you know. And it's very hard to scale that, right? Because it's personalized. So you only do this for the specific campaign, for the specific client. But you know, it's best to be really good at what you do in one niche rather than to be very generic, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially when it comes to link building, there's so many link builders out there. You know, I get 50 emails a day. Please look at my list, and I've got better links than everyone else. And you ask for the top 5-10 websites, and it's the same old garbage. The first thing I do when I see a link is put in the name of that website and people per hour, just a generic search, and I'll see the cost of it. So, for example, if you come to me with, you know, a website and I put it in people per hour and you're trying to sell me it for $150 and I see it on there for $40, you know, what's the point in even talking to you?
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. And, you know, I don't mind paying you the $150, providing that it's something I can't get myself, you know, and you're taking the time to go away and get the content, and you've done the research, built the relationship. And I think, obviously, that conversation we had last year in making yourself unique, although it's not totally scalable, I think people are looking for quality rather than quantity these days, and they don't mind paying your fee as long as you're bringing something to the table. And I think that's where you'll stand out and grow, because you know, link building's tough, and especially, you know, in the UK and the US markets, where most of us try and do affiliate marketing or promote ourselves or whatever it may be. So I think, you know, from what I can see, you appear to be doing a very good job. As I say, I don't see all of your work. I just know that any time that you propose a link to me, probably 8 out of 10 are really good. So as I say, some of them have said, like, fuck me, what the hell is this, and the traffic shit, and maybe slightly overpriced, but that's obviously not your fault. You're just bringing them the opportunity. And, you know, as I say, I think 8 out of 10, I would say, hand on heart, is ones that I have taken. And I think everyone out there is looking for different vendors anyway. I think you're bringing something different to the table, and I like to have multiple vendors on a personal level. You know, if someone, it's not about a budget. If someone just brings me something good to the table, I'm grabbing it. If my competition don't have it, then I want it. So it's working well. But what I want to do is talk about, you know, how you're going about doing that. You know, how are you getting these links? What tools are you using? What kind of, you know, I know that most people will be using PitchBox to do outreach. And are you doing a lot of outreach?
I do a lot of outreach these days. And I found out, it's funny, and you probably, you know, not many people will like that, because I've got my, you know, I talked about scripts, you know, that I have this automated Python scripts that, you know, they scrape a lot of emails, you know, they verify emails and they can do automation, right? We do use that sometimes. It's really helpful. But if you want to do outreach, and that's what I found out, if you let's say, you know, the client and the subject, which is this is you know, this is the thing, you need to know something about the client first, because otherwise you don't really know how to write a pitch and, you know, an email to, let's say, to the influencer. So you know that it's very difficult to get a link on, let's say, this website, because you already ask them, can I get a sponsor or guest post? And they say, we don't allow any sponsor or guest posts. We don't do any link insertions and things like that. We just have to become a contributor. And that's really hard, right? How can you become a contributor in that space if you don't have a knowledge? So we're taking the step further, and we're trying to learn as much as possible about the industry first. And we're looking at the influencer first, you know, because we know that these websites are unique. It's not about the DR. We don't, like, this is the thing, you know, people, they kind of like, I don't know if you have the same feeling, but a lot of link builders and SEO, they just believe, like, as long as DR is good, you know, at 70, it will work. It will push the links in the SERP, which is not true. It's not always the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not just looking for DR as such. You know, it is one metric that I look at to give me an indication as to whether a site's powerful or not. But I'm looking at traffic rankings, and that stuff's kind of got to come together. I think, you know, if you don't mind me telling the story, I think there was one the other day that you sent across to me and asked me if I was interested in, and I think it did DR 50 something. but it only had like 1,000 hits a month. And for me, something there doesn't add up. You know, if you've got a DR 50 and everything else is good, then how the hell are you only getting 1,000 hits a month? You know, there's something not right there. Either the website's been spammed to death, it's not optimized right, and things like that. And what I'm looking for over and above DR is real websites that have real traffic. You know, DR is something that we can manipulate, and, you know, stuff like that. You know, you can cheat all that stuff. But I think, you know, I'm looking for a bit more than that. I just have, sometimes I use my own gut feeling as well. Like, that just doesn't seem right, so I'm not going for it. So, you know, obviously cost comes into play as well. So if, for example, I get a DR50 and it costs me $80,
that's good price.
And then you come to me and you say, right, I've got a DR I've got a DR40 here and it's $125. I'm going to say, what the fucking hell's going on here? So obviously price is something that I do look at as well. And we all know the kind of average cost of links. The average cost for links depends on who you're dealing with. I think it's up to individuals to find out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, totally.
That's something I also take into consideration as well. You know, if you come to me and something's double the price, I'm going to say it better be double the metrics and better offer double the value. And it's the same with any link vendor that I use. That price and everything comes into consideration, not just DR. Relevance as well, so, and also you've got to think ahead. Even if a website's got a DR of say 35, but that's grown and the website looks as if it's grown at a fairly reasonable pace, that's certainly a gamble I would take as well. So I wouldn't certainly snuff at something.
Definitely, which is why I wanted to touch on this. It's not the DR and neither the traffic. I mean, you need to have them, but I've just realized something about the relevance. You know, when, let's say, you are a software development company and your client is looking to get only and only a websites that are related to programming languages, you know, that's absolutely difficult to get, right? You have to agree with me that if you are doing that kind of link building, can you imagine that you have to be very specific about programming languages and from what kind of websites you're linking to the client? Because the client is a software development company, so they understand that. It's okay to get a link from the news websites, you know, where the traffic is going to be high, the R will be amazing, but they want irrelevant links, and they're looking for relevancy, which is very difficult to get, let's say, a relevancy based on the domain. So the entire domain is talking about one topic, which is, I found out, this is very rare. These are the best websites. And these ones, let's say, they're talking about one subject specifically, but the entire domain is only about this. It's very niche, very specialized. They don't have much traffic, obviously, because, you know, it's specialized, right? So
yeah,
it can get 500 hits per month or even 1,000. The DR can be 20 or 30, but the relevancy is such an ultra. It's unique, right? It's unique for them. They understand that it's unique for the industry as well, because let's say, I don't know, if you're going to some high authority websites, they're allowing only, let's say, tutorials about programming languages. How can you get those? You know, if you're not a programmer, you would have to have someone who is able to write programming tutorials, right? Because you can't get this link. You can't buy. You cannot do a sponsored guest post, unless you do, but I think it's not the same if you do the sponsored guest. And many of them, they just don't allow that. They're just looking for the contributors. And if you do this personalized campaigns, you know, you're looking for these authority websites and you have to get there. It's you're changing the game completely. So the DR then and the traffic, it doesn't matter. It's just the relevancy. I mean, we just found out yesterday. Yesterday. There's a blog. It's talking about, I think, programming languages, but one specific program, like it's a one language only, like I think it's a Python or something like that. And the client is fully in love with that. You know, he really wants to get a link. So it's very difficult, right? Because you have to pitch, and they will tell you some stories. They will tell you topics you can write something about it. But you would have to have that guy within your campaign that he will be able to write only specific content for this specific website. So you have to work within either one or two or three, but they need to understand the client first and, you know, the way how they present a content, right? So I think it's a very unique, because this is why we call them personalized campaigns, because you have to train your content writers first, and they need to have at least some sort of a background as well, right? And you're kind of limited in that sense, because if you're not the developer, how can you get those links, right? And especially if you do the for software development companies. And we do one campaign at the moment, and the cost per click. So they're trying to rank for custom software development. It's a keyword. That keyword costs in the UK $106, according to Semrush. That's a hell of a lot of money for one click. And we checked the backlink profile of the top 10 guys, and they do really have a very, very specific links. And that we sometimes we're just scratching heads and we're thinking like, how the hell is that possible? So it works. It works, but it takes time. And the client is not about, he doesn't want to have many links, neither the traffic. And as I said yesterday, we found out the website that the traffic is really good. The DR is quite decent. The traffic was really good. The relevancy was absolutely amazing. But the DR, for some reasons, we don't know why. We just checked the backlinks and everything seemed to be okay. But they have DR 08. It's fun, you know. It's fun. I know. That's absolutely no go. But the client said, "Yeah, I really want that link because it's such a absolutely relevant." But I said, "Like a DR 08. Come on."
It wouldn't be one for me, but as I say, everyone's got different metrics. You know, some people are just looking, as you said, for super relevant domains and stuff like that. Whereas someone like me, as long as the kind of content's related, then that's enough for me to be relevant. So everyone's got different goals, and I don't think anyone's really got the right or the wrong answer. You know, if your client's happy with it, they're
very
happy.
Very true. Yeah, I mean. It probably makes sense. We just don't know. He understands that better because the traffic is DR08, DR is 08, but the traffic and the audience is probably these are the developers, these are the programmers. They're really into that. So when they see the link, when they see the article, it's appealing to them. It appears like as a absolutely highly relevant to them, and they. You know, it brings the traffic to the website as well. So I think it's good for branding purposes as well.
Yeah.
You see, so I think it's a beyond link building, just because you go in there, you get these links, you build the content, but it helps to improve the brand as well, the authority, and you know, and build this perception. So it's beyond. I think it's beyond link building as well. So you have to, you know, as I said, you have to have good content writers that really understand the subject as well. Because otherwise, without them, you can only do the outreach and ask, you know, can we write something? But what can you write if you don't have, you know, these guys right behind you? Yeah. So that's the thing. This is what we do. So we build the campaigns, we train everything, we look for the influencers and. And we know that we sooner or later we'll get there, right? And within 30 days, we already know who's the big player in the industry, right?
Yeah. Now, obviously, you've got the hard part covered, finding the links, reaching out to them, you know, using PitchBox, whatever. Now, a simple question I've got for you, how the fuck do you keep the content writers in check? That's something I've always had a problem with is... finding good content writers who are reliable, quick, and stuff like that. You know, where are you finding these guys and how the hell are you hanging on to them?
Okay, you won't believe me, but I found out my best writer, two best writers, you know, one got sacked because it was too late. It was good. She was really good. She was writing absolutely amazing content, and the acceptance rate was always 90%. So every time she wrote something, gets approval instantly. You know, there was no changes and anything like that. You know, just small changes. You know, can we do revision? Can we change that and that? But nothing major. And the acceptance rate was high. But, you know, really good guys, obviously difficult to find them. But I found currently with this specific campaign, I found one at People Per Hour, which is absolutely funny because it's the website that we're trying to avoid. We only get there just to find out if the link already exists. But The guy that I have, you know, is a really absolutely amazing. And you've asked me, how do I check the content? I don't really check the content that much. We just find out that sometimes it's best to let go. You know, let them go. Let them write at what they do great. You see where I come from. So let's say if I always do like this. Hey, Nietzsche, let's say, because her name is Nietzsche. It's like, can you do me...
Nietzsche.
Her name is Nietzsche. I said, can you do a pitch for me for this website? She goes, next day, 4 different pitches with outlines. I copy that and paste, and I'll send that over to the editor. Usually they always say number 1 on please, or number 2 or number 3. No question asked. Next day after, she already got an article, and they saying like, this is great. This is amazing. And when you do this 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, you know that you don't have to do anything. You just only have to contact this very specific websites. They're looking for great content, and she will deliver that. Yeah. Sometimes what we have to do, which is beyond now your question, is people will ask you who you are. You know, they want to see your social media profiles, which is very now difficult to prove who you are, right? Because you can be a ghostwriter. And, you know, in our case, we're using ghostwriters, right? So we have to create a persona. Like you create literally persona on a Twitter, on a LinkedIn, and just so that person appears is relevant to, let's say, I don't know, it's a journalist, or maybe it's a content writer, or is a person that talks about technology and is a writer or anything like that. And that will kind of help you to get this conversion, because editors sometimes they do check who you are. I mean, great content, but who you are, you know, I want to see your LinkedIn, I want to see your Twitter, I want to see your either Facebook. It's very difficult to say you don't have any of those, right?
Yeah.
You see, when you become a contributor, you have to kind of build, you know, the fake persona. It's a, you know, technically speaking, it's a white lie, right? But I just find out that you don't hurt anyone. You bring in the content that really helps the audience. It helps the websites, right, to back up the authority. You bring the really good content, they happy. So they don't, you know, you don't really lie on that. You just bring the really good content. You publish this content as a, you know, different person.
Right. So I'm going to put you in the spot now. Rumor has it, and I'm not going to say who gave me this rumor, that some of your fake personas are actually, you know, females and stuff like that. Is that correct? You're pitching under female personas, I'm pretty sure if anyone's being realistic, they probably do the same thing, right? So yeah. I'm not having a pop at that. Now, the question I really want to know is, does that actually work better, pretending to be a female rather than a male, or a male rather than a female within certain industries? Is that something you find is actually a thing?
We've done the conversions, well, like a test conversions. You know, we've been keep sending from as a male, and sometimes you just don't get a reply. But if you're a female and you have unique name, let's say something like Jasmine. I mean, I spoke with Gareth Hoyle once on Facebook, and he said that, you know, his team does that, and they said that Jasmine works the best, you know. And he was like, I don't know whether he was absolutely realistic and true to that, but I think he was having a lot of fun speaking about that. So I think there must be true to some degree that females converts better than males, especially when you want to do the outreach. I don't know what it is, but it works.
I've got a question on this, right? So,
yeah.
You know, we agree that people are doing this strategy and it clearly works to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going out and building a Twitter and a Facebook and everything else under Jasmine, for example, where do you get in the picture? Because a lot of these personas look fucking real. And you look at them going, geez, that you know, that could be a real person. That could really be Jasmine. And she really likes, you know, she really she really likes me and she's given me all this chat to get a blog post and all that stuff. It's obviously, you know, if you were to do that in the dating world, you know, that would be called catfishing, you know.
Yeah.
Realistically, you know, it's Milos that's sending the fucking, you know, the email. So, you know, where are you getting these pictures from?
Okay.
Are you just stealing them from people's Facebooks or you know, because I've seen fake personas that are really bad, and it's like, you can tell it's like got a Chinese guy morphed onto like an Indian guy's face or whatever. You know, they just don't go together. And I don't know if you've ever seen those kind of fake face generators that you can just tell a mile away. You look at it and go, Jesus, you know, that's not good. So what are you doing to get those pictures?
What I found out, I have to admit that I kind of fucked up once, and I took completely random person from very famous, probably newspaper. We didn't know. We didn't check. We haven't done the checks. We just took it, and we put in a, you know, in a Gmail, when you build a Gmail profile, a new profile, we put a picture over there, like, you know, I think it's, well, the width is 300 pixels by 300. And, you know, we find out this, we put over there, and it was working. And we've approached one person. That person says, yes, this is great. We've said that we are, you know, I'm a student. I'm trying to get into writing, right? That was the story. And she said, yeah, great. Can you write this and that? We've done that. And they've already published with the picture that, you know, the picture was taken from somewhere else. We don't know, from the internet. We just didn't change that. We just kind of agreed that, you know, it's a good profile. It works with this picture. And someone found it. So what happened is that the content has been published by this person, by this fake person with this picture, and someone literally found it, and it was on the Facebook. And so the editor came back and said, look, you know, you are a fake person, right? They wrote email to us and say, we have to take down this article because people saying that you're not, you know, they just find out the actual URL to this picture. It was horrendous. You know, it was really bad. It was really bad, and I was like, I was actually feeling so bad, and I literally had to apologize. And the editor said, I will never trust anyone else. You know, like from these random people on the internet, because this is the thing, on the internet you can be anyone else. So what we find out is we still keep the white lie, right? The white lie means that you don't hurt anyone. I mean, in this case, we've hurt it, right? We did the damage to the editor. So that was really bad. So what we've done is we take the picture and we use the filters. And so you have this like a picture that is not clear. It's like illustration sort of. So your face is, you know, you look at Anton. Anton has got exactly the illustration on his Facebook profile. Okay, have you seen it? You use that kind of stuff. And that works. Yes. And then we find out that we can get away. So people will never find out who you are. They don't have to see your face. You know, just say that I'm a technology journalist. I'm writing about software development companies or software development, I don't know, teams or anything like that. And in that way, that was a kind of like a key conversion. You know, editors were okay with that. You know, we said that we were ghostwriters and we're just trying now to build up our portfolio. That's what we say. And they say, yeah, okay, fine. Okay, good. Please write, you know, send me a pitch, an outline. And they okay with that, you know. So it technically it's a white lie, but you're not damaging the authority of the website by doing so, and you delivering the content. So we focus on the content, but the way that we find out, you have to build this a fake persona sort of. But you know, that's the way it's a, you know, with this picture. So you have to create this illustration a little bit. You know, there's a automated software that you put a picture of yours and it will change it to something like funky, you know, something colorful, so it's not a real picture then anymore. But that works. It brings, yeah.
Trying to make that sound genuine. I think you've got to play tricks. You know, everyone does it, and you know, I think anyone saying that they don't is lying through their teeth. You've got to play tricks. You know, I've done loads of tricks over the years. You know, using fake personas and you know, stealing pictures and various other bits and bobs. I've never been caught, to be fair, but interesting to hear that you got caught. In that particular instance, though, when you did get caught, was that the one with Andy Drinkwater, or was that a different situation?
No, that was the different situation. Oh, boy, the Andy Drinkwater, that was hilarious. I mean, you remember that one. shall we really say that? Oh, no. I think we should say, because it's podcast. So
well, basically, I want to give a background into this story first. You said there, prior to the kind of fake pictures and everything else, that you've got to let go and just trust the content writer. Now, that was going to be the question after that was, can you really just let go and trust the content writer, given what happened with Andy Drinkwater's website, which was quite a...
it was fun.
Andy's face, because Andy actually WhatsApped me going, what the fucking hell is this? what can I say? But I'll let you tell the story. So let's talk about the Andy Drinkwater scenario. What happened there?
So basically, we just wanted to write something technical, something about, I don't remember, it was something technical, good content, apparently. So the content was written. It was, you know, we've sent it to Andy. Andy published, and within 24 hours, someone famous, someone found an exact copy of that. It was written. It was good. You know, it was a good quality in terms of like rewriting. You put it in Grammarly or one of those tools, and you know, you couldn't find the duplication. But the headings, the structure was almost similar. It was just well rewritten. I did not check that because I was, you know, I trusted. You know, she did a lot of articles, really good. But it was, see, the point was that vertical piece of content was highly technical, right? Andy Drinkwater does not talk about averages, you know, SEO, technical, basic stuff, right? He wants to have something advanced. And we had that content, something advanced. And so the lady, she rewrote the entire story. It was really good, but it was just one of those, you know, that person, because it's Andy Drinkwater, you know, so it gets a lot of publicity, right, as well. You know, people sharing this stuff, you know, people find it via Twitter, you know, this is so good, you know, this is such a great content, you know, it talks about security issues and why, and there is a story behind and everything. Someone, I think, after 24 hours, it was late, it was, I think, 10 o'clock, and Andy just texted me, hey, mate, look, we've got some Houston. We've got a problem, you know, literally like that. And he sent me a screenshot that someone, a famous person from really famous agency, SEO agency, found out that something like that. I knew it, and he put a link. It's not real. he actually found the real version of that article that was rewritten. And it was just exactly like that. And I was like, oh my God, Andy, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to say. I don't know how it happened, you know. And I just told him, you know, that I trust her. And he goes like, no worries about. But I think we have to take this down. It will be better. And I will come up with some story that, you know, it was a guest post and it was my fault or something like that. And that's what he did. He took down the article very quickly, and he said that apologies, you know, it was a guest post, and I did not check whether or not it was very unique and something like that. But you know, it next day was everything fine, you know. But it was such a funny story, and but we were actually laughing. But you know, funny story could sometimes it could go wrong, right? You know, it's a brand at the end. That's his brand, so It could hurt him.
I think, obviously, if you can take lessons from it, you know, one, Andy has to check guest posts that are going on his website, but two, you as the guy providing a guest post cannot let go. You can't let go. You've still got to have some form of process in place where stuff does get checked. And because, if you start getting a name for, that was obviously a one-off occasion, but if you were to start getting a name for that stuff, I'm pretty sure your link building career would be down the toilet pan very, very quickly. But there's always good fun stories to be had as well. And I think you've got to laugh at them. Some people take life way too seriously. We all make mistakes, and we all, try and cut a corner here and there and whatever. I make mistakes. I've made more mistakes than anyone, to be honest, and been caught red-handed and stuff like that. it's never good. It's never good, but it's all fun and games.
It certainly is. It does happen. So this is why what I've learned is it's better to have content writers that have some sort of PR background, because when they do, and it's my personal way. Right, so I've got at the moment a writer who has actual real PR within a big company, a PR background. So when she writes, I tend to give her full, like, she can do whatever she wants. There is obviously a brief. She knows how to use the SEO tools. She knows how to optimize. She knows that what sort of resources and outlinks she needs to use in order to make that piece of content highly authoritative, right? So, we know that based on the data from them, here is the citation, right? So she knows, she does that. We check that, everything. But also she's got this kind of way of writing headings, that are very catchy. They're not just SEO orientated, right? And that helps a lot. And we know that we do that, right? We say to her, hey, this is the type of content we're looking for, but feel free to completely put your, writing style. And doing so, when we do the checks and everything, it really helps, because we see the acceptance rate is much higher when we do that. So it's better to sometimes train someone. You just need to have your brief, like a guidance, right? Somewhere written exactly what you want, and it has to be clear, very clear. So that person, when you're onboarding her and she has, let's say, PR background, it's very easy for her to write a story rather than just another article. You see where I come from. So it's still helpful, but people like to read something, especially on those big publications, where the story comes in. So you're connecting the dots and like why this or that has some sort of connections with the past and everything. Even the headline is really good. So that works. That's what we find out, that it's just one of the trick, hire the someone who has PR background rather than just a ghostwriter, like a generic ghostwriter. It really helps.
Yeah. It really helps. I think every little wee thing really helps in this industry, and you've always got to pay attention to those kind of small details. It's just the way you've got to be, I think. But on a completely different subject altogether, obviously we've spoke a bit about outreach with your link building and other bits and bobs. Recently, I was out in Poland with you Polish guys. thoroughly enjoyed the event and the stuff like that. The market out there, though, and I think we've spoke about this since, doing SEO or doing link building in the UK and the US is completely different from doing it in Poland, for example. That's the kind of general consensus I got. I've never been to Poland prior to coming out to the event there in September or whenever it was, the end of August, I can't remember. And what I found was that spam still works out there. Is that something you're finding that the algorithms are maybe slightly different and more difficult for us in the UK than out in Poland, because these guys are, I mean, they're crazy, crazy guys, and, you know, very successful guys, but even those guys are saying, like, they're still spamming shit up and it's working really well for them.
Unfortunately, it appears so, because I don't do any Polish content, right, or Polish SEO, so to speak, right? I'm here, right? But all my clients, when they come into me to do, link building at, English markets, right? So that's different. But when we've been there together, right, at this SEO race, at this conference, and it. You know, when I was having a handful of conversations, and they say that, you know, on Slavic countries, Google isn't that great. You can still kind of, you know, do the spam bit different. Machine learning or machines are not so well orientated in sense of, you know, looking at relevance. You know, they don't see the relevancy. They don't see duplication, I think. And that's what these guys, you know, affiliate guys, you know, they know that it's successful, so it works for them. So that's what they said. It, you know, that you can still do the domain, you can buy expired domains and you can do redirections, and it works. It still works for them. So it has changed. You know, Penguin, no, don't get me wrong, Penguin is still that, right? Penguin works for Poland, right? But you don't have to be that precise. You don't have to be the ultra relevant. I've seen the cases where you could, let's say, build your authority website, right? Let's say about health, or, you know, something to do with the health, you know, it's your affiliate website, and you can build with the backlinks from completely different industry, and that will rank you as well. So it is what it is, you know. And I know that there's a one guy from Poland who does, I think, in Norwegian stuff, you know, he ranks something financial in Norway, and all the links, so he is in the top one, mm-hmm. and all the links are from Poland, and you can take this for granted, you know. So for example, Norway and Poland and all these countries are still there, I think, not under the Google radar, I think, if I can say that. I think that's it's a fact still. It will take a while, Google, to learn, you know, that relevancy in different languages. You know, they're very good at English markets. They can see relevancy. They can recognize the spam. They're very good. They're still quite fast in terms of algorithms. Right? I mean, you can see the algorithm. Every time there's an algorithm, you can see the SERP, right? The SERP is absolutely, like, flowing from up to down, you know, always. But in the different countries, it's completely different, you know. Like I know the guy who did some really good stuff, literally copying the top 10 content. He created a website, one landing page. He put all the keywords, just whatever he could scrape, and within the next day, I think, or maybe 7 days after, he already was ranking in the top 10 for some financial things in Georgia. But have you ever seen Georgian language? It's like, I don't know, from different country, like from different world. Georgian language is different, and it looks so strange that you already, you know, I mean, it's already you feel like what the hell is that, you know? The language is so scary because by look, so, but he did that. He just literally copy and paste. That was a very good case study for him. That he just proved that you can literally scrape, copy, put a landing page, and you will still rank, you know, because of the semantic keywords. He did that, and with no links, literally, he was able to rank. And then he put some other links, and then it you know, it was working for him. I mean, I think he did already some deals in like it was credit cards in Georgia. You know, it's funny. It's really funny that you can do that.
Yeah. It's interesting, as I say, I've not been out to Poland before and don't have much experience in that side of things, and just found it mind-blowing that the rules were so different. And as I say, some of the guys out there are doing super successful stuff using these tactics. So I found it very interesting. And as I say, loved Poland as well. It was a great great conference and great people and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, super fun.
We definitely want you to you know, want to see you back in South Poland, right? And probably in Krakow soon. So I just need to speak with Robert and Damian, you know, these guys. They've organized the recent SEO Race conference. So it was very successful, and you know, I think you at least you get that sense of the Polish party, right? It's different way, right?
Certainly, out of a lot of the events I've been to, my honest opinion was, when I was coming to Poland, I'm like, I don't know what to expect. These guys are not going to really understand the accent. I'm going to be isolated over there. Don't really know anyone, but very, very welcoming. You know, great bunch of people, very friendly. You know, even guys were fighting over trying to help Charlie and Lauren go back to the apartment, and, you know, very respectful guys. And we watched the football together. My local team Rangers were playing Legia Warsaw. We all spent.
Yeah, because you're from Glasgow, right? So yeah. Rangers from Glasgow.
So there was loads of booze great, very welcoming people as well. I'm not saying I wasn't expecting it, but. I've been to enough events out there to know that sometimes you're just left to your own devices, but these guys were bending over backwards to help, and even Robert and stuff, you know, picking me up at the airport and, taking care of me and giving me and my family, our own place to stay as well. You don't always get that at events. Sometimes you just, get slung in a hotel room and stuff. So as I say, even those small details for that event were spot on. And what I also found really good was the level of knowledge over there. You know, these guys are doing some insane stuff, really crazy. Paulie Dooley and all these kind of other guys.
Do you remember that guy, Jakub, and he said that he bought some expired domains from dead people. You know, there was politicians from different countries, and they had the they had the airplane crash. Exactly, yeah. There was an airplane crash, and after 6 months, the domain was left, wasn't extended, and he bought this domain with all these political links, right? Governmental links. And that's insane. You know, that's really insane, but. It works,
it's a funny story. These guys are, as I say, as insane as everyone else out there, and that's what it's all about. And it was great to hear, some of the funny stuff that these guys are doing as well. We're all human beings at the end of the day, and we're all doing the same old stuff and playing the same old tricks. And as I say, it was great. It was fun, friendly. And hopefully I get an invite back next year if they do it again. I'm sure there'll be more people there because I've got nothing but nice things to say about that event. And I think it's because it's a smaller event, you get to know most of the attendees there. You get to spend a bit of time with everyone rather than if you go to an event, there's 500 people there, you don't really get to mingle or get to, sit and have a beer with people. But over there, I think there was maybe 30 plus, maybe 40 tops. I think I probably had a beer or at least a conversation with most people. And I think that's always good as well, because I'm always looking to hear what other people are up to as well, and obviously try and implement it into my own stuff as well, because I think... Everyone's got their own angles, and I learn a lot. So, yeah, great event.
You've helped. I mean, I don't know if you remember this conversation, but out of this conversation, do you remember you were speaking with Robert, and you just said to him, "Hey, do you want to speak in Milan this year?" And out of this conversation, he's speaking in Milan because of you. So, You see, like all these conferences, that you're helping people because you see them, they're helping you, but you see that that's something they can't see what they can get out of this. You know, you wouldn't expect that you get invitation in Milan, and you know, for the Polish guy, it's definitely something. You know, it's a big opportunity, and it's very nice of you that you've come up. You know, with this idea, Marco is pleased having Robert. So we have to come up with another conference, probably maybe this year. Robert, can you hear me? And Damian, you really need to make up something, you know, organize something for Craig. You know, let's do a really outstanding, maybe we should do a mastermind in Poland, right?
Anything, so I can get the opportunity to come back over there. It's only I don't even know if it's as much as 2 hours. I think an hour and a half, 2 hour flight. So I can be in Poland quicker than I can be in Manchester. So, make something happen. We'll have a Christmas party in Poland.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
But sadly, Milos, we are out of time. We have spoken for nearly an hour. But just before we go, for anyone who's interested in anything you've had to say, whether it be link building or consultancy or whatever else it is you do, where's the best place for people to get a hold of you?
Just probably type in miloskrasiński.com. You will find me. Or probably the best way would be if they will come to you because they know you. And if they'll ask about me, you can always do the introduction. And I think because my surname is quite difficult, right, to remember. So if they type in Milos and they will trying to find me, you know, using my surname, they probably it would be very difficult. But I do have website. Suddenly, I do have website, so you can find me, right? It's miloskrasiński.com. But as I said, you know, it's not English surname, so you probably might have difficulties to write this. So if by any chance you want to really talk to me, speak over the Craig, through the Craig channel, like Facebook, probably would be the easiest way to do so.
Yeah, you get me in Facebook, but for anyone who can't be bothered talking to me, his name is Milos Krasiński. Should be fairly easy. Google something like Milos, and something will come up. But no, in all seriousness, I can point you in the right direction if you want to get a hold of Milos or Milo, as I call him. I can't be bothered saying Milos. All these foreign pronunciations are too much like hard work. But no, I appreciate you taking the time to come on and giving us some insights as to how you're doing business and obviously some of the funny stories we shared. So appreciate it, mate.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Craig, for that. Thank you for having me.
No worries.